Let's run to Jesus this morning. Father, we come before you knowing that you are the author and finisher of everything that you want done in this house. We ask for special grace for those who are listening to this on this internet, believing that you're going to touch them as this word goes forth. I sought the heart of the Lord again this morning, and I had a drawback from Tuesday, and that was because on Tuesday there was a word that was given, and it related to the Mountain of Beatitudes, and I didn't realize it did not come at the beginning. Other things came first, but I want to kind of go to Matthew chapter 5, and I want to kind of run that by you as a beginning of what I believe the Lord was really speaking. Verse 1 says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed, happy, to be envied and spiritually prosperous, that is with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are the poor in spirit, the humble, rating themselves insignificant. Rating themselves insignificant. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we were first gathered in this room this morning, I was reminded that many people have a concept of building a house or a home or a family on carnal conditions and carnal responses. And the Galatians tried it, and St. Paul wrote them that they were foolish. I can tell you that I had many good ideas on how to do things and how it should be done, and blah, blah, blah. And my mouth went off just like everybody else's. Boy, I know how to do this. I know if I could do this. Bah! And guess what? Those great ideas are all flesh. And I remember one day speaking to Gino and saying to him, what's missing? He said, when you have natural understanding and natural responses, you're going to get natural results. And unless you develop your spiritual senses, you're not going to get anywhere. And I was just beginning to develop my spiritual senses. I didn't comprehend what he was coming across with. I just knew that it was truth. I knew it in my heart. I knew it in my inner man. It was truth. And all this other stuff was not the real kingdom. Oh, it was a kingdom, all right, but it was a kingdom of flesh. And a kingdom of flesh falls and breaks and will not hold. It can't. That's why you have revivals and then you go down. There was a word of knowledge that was given at the leaders' meeting. And it was the word reformation. Reform. If I want to revive something, I'm going to get the old in a new fashion for a few moments. And it's not going to produce any lasting results. Verse 3 says, the humble rating themselves insignificant. That's the Amplified. The humble rating themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when you start thinking less of yourself and more of God within you. Now you say, why God within me? Because you don't understand, your spirit has so much more and greater value than your outer garment that you think is so great. And you take pretty good care of it, but the bottom line is it's not going to produce any eternal results. Building and rebuilding and rebuilding has been going on for 2,000 years, and it's not been done well. It's been done, barely held together, by the grace and the mercy of our God. Verse 4. Blessed and enviably happy, with a happiness produced by experience of God's favor. Did you hear that? With a happiness produced by experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by revelation. Especially conditioned by revelation of his matchless grace are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Again, a spiritual attribute is involved. And it's got to be experienced. You cannot build your house, your spiritual house, on somebody else's miracles. It can't be done. It's going to be, oh, wow, it's great for them. Well, what about me? Well, unless you cry out for some, you're not going to get any. Those who don't have, because they didn't ask, will never understand. So you've got to get out of your natural thinking and start taking time with him in order to understand his realm. And the spirit realm is so much greater and of such magnitude in value compared to that which is carnal and fleshy for the moment. So if you've been in this place of wondering, why isn't these things happening to me and only to these that have, oh, they get this and they get that. Well, maybe they've done a little more homework than me. Maybe their gift is different than me. That doesn't discount you or pull you out. It just says they may have done a couple of connections that you haven't. That's not meaning that you are forgotten, left out, rejected, and betrayed. God does not betray his children. God tries to reveal himself to his children. He tries and he tries and he tries. And after a season, when they're so focused on themselves, he sits back and says, well, maybe they'll knock on the door one of these days. Verse 5. Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous. Did you notice spiritually prosperous? That is, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition. Regardless of their outward condition. Are the meek, the mild, the patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's telling us that this earth is going to be transformed? If you're going to inherit something, I don't want to inherit something that's falling apart and it's full of smoke and all kinds of carbon dioxide, etc. Am I going to be in a green earth like the world thinks of green? No. I believe that God is going to renew the earth and make it holy and perfect like it used to be before sin came in. You see, there's a procedure in process. And this week I was studying in a book about levels of faith. And the Reformation that Martin Luther brought to the church at that time. And you know what? There's still repercussions from that. That Reformation, which is hundreds of years old, has actually activated in a church a great deal of transformation. But there's much more to come. We're not at the end. We're on a journey. You know, to inherit the earth in the condition that it's in is not much of an inheritance. But to inherit the earth and see it restored and reversed from all the garbage and see God's magnitude of this intense, intense vision that he has. And you know, if you take a good look at Jesus Christ on the cross with all the bleeding and flesh that he's dropped into this earth. And I was on a conversation and in prayer with somebody this week. And I said, do you remember when Jesus was literally whipped? And it says that the pieces of bone that were tied into the whip literally pulled his flesh out. And those pieces of flesh, where do you think they went? Everywhere, all over that courtyard. Gail and I went into that courtyard. We saw the cracks in the stone. Where did his flesh and his blood first go? In the earth. It was to recapture and reclaim that which man had failed in. And it happened in the Hall of Justice. Yahoo! You know, I get excited when this kind of revelation happens as I'm speaking, because I hear my mouth giving out God's intent on sacrificing his son's body. I was excited, and I said, you know, I remember the anointing, walking in that place. I can remember putting my feet, and I wanted to take off my shoes. I knew it was holy ground. I could feel the presence of God everywhere. Everywhere I walked on that floor. The stones were larger than this carpet. And they were whiter. But the cracks were there too. And I knew my father had shed his son's blood right there. Not 1,000 miles away like we are right now, which doesn't really matter. But the whole earth was reclaimed. And it's been in a reversal process now for 2,000 years. That's pretty good. In other words, things are getting better, not worse. Believing you have received, it will be done unto you. Mark 11:24. What are you believing for? An earth that's going to be completely destroyed or restored? And it's going to be done by... Thank you. Going to be done by faith. Everything that pleases God is done by faith. 6:6. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous, that is, in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. For they shall be completely satisfied. Awesome! So you've got a satisfaction coming down the highway of life that will be so intense and so sweet, because God's favor is going to be visible. God's salvation is going to be visible for those who are hungry and are thirsting for righteousness. Verse 7, blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous. Did you notice spiritually prosperous? Doesn't mean your wallet's going to be bulging out with finances all the time. Because you're going to get happy in both the conditions of prosperity in the natural and in the spirit. That is, with life's joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of the outward condition are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I can remember when God decided to pound that home for me. I was living in the Hall of Justice. I wanted 50 pounds of flesh for every 50 pounds of flesh I had to give out. Now, you guys probably never lived there, but I did. And God began to show me that if I didn't give out some mercy, that I was going to get in trouble. I remember a discussion with my pastor on the subject. And he said, Kim, I understand what you're looking for. I've lived there. And I didn't want to agree with him, because I was so focused on the injustice that was going on. How many of you have ever been focused on the injustice? The lack of justice. The lack of righteous justice that you know should be. And it's just not happening. Well, God had me in that place for months. And he kept pounding in, unless you give out mercy, you're not going to get any. Unless you pour out mercy by choice, you're not going to get any. Do you think you can live the rest of your life without mercy? Well, to be honest with you, for a season, I didn't want to go that route. I just didn't want to go that route, because it was going to cost me my pride and my self-righteousness. And then I believe the Lord provided a vision of me stripping myself of all the things that I thought were valuable. I remember one day, the Lord said to me, I want you to listen to a cassette tape. It happened to be several years old, but it was a message that I needed to hear. And it was based on Ephesians 4. Take off your clothes and become and get dressed with God's righteousness, not your selfish one. And I pondered that, because the person who was giving the message was very precious to me. As I pondered it, I began to say to the Lord, can't do this on my own. Please help me. And he did. He came to my rescue and he began to show me that I needed to pour out mercy in order to receive mercy. I needed to pour out grace in order to get grace. I needed to give out all these things, love, compassion, and so on, if I expected to get some. Verse 8. Blessed, happy, enviably fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, that is, possessing the happiness produced by experiencing God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace, regardless of their outward condition, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, I remember singing, I want to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. And when he did show up, I wasn't focused on him. I was focused on the other one. Talk about eating humble pie. I wanted to become able to see in that realm. And when he would open it, it was only for a little bit. I kept wanting more. And I guess it was because I was just too busy. I'm asking you for the grace, not only for myself, Lord, but for all of these that are listening to this message, that they will take time to wait on the Lord so that they can see him. Verse 9. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness. Enviable. Isn't that great? Jealousy by the Holy Ghost. spiritually prosperous, that is, with life's joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are the makers and maintainers of peace. Did you hear the message this morning? For they shall be called the sons of God. The maintainers of peace. That means you're going to walk into a crisis situation and everybody's going to have their opinion and they're all going to be ready to just slam their conditions in. And you're going to sit there and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say and how do you want me to say it? Close your eyes. See, if you're constantly responding as reactionary men and women and children, you're not going to be a peacemaker. And there will not be an example for someone to follow. But if you choose to ask him to make you one of those, it will happen. It's going to be up to you. Because this is personal. If you want to be a peacemaker, you're going to have to be quiet. Not by insults, but just be quiet. And gain and regain your composure before God. In the midst of the crisis. Do I get any amens? Thank you. Otherwise, you won't see him. And you won't be called the Son of God. Verse 10. Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous, that is, in the state of which one enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you understand the kingdom of heaven is doing right in spite of? Doing right when you're mistreated. Doing right when it doesn't feel good to keep on going and to keep on giving. Doing right in spite of your emotions. 50 pounds of flesh for 50 pounds of flesh. Not the answer. But I will tell you, it might feel good in your flesh for a few moments, but the end result is what? Death. You want to taste the kingdom? Do it his way. Verse 11. Blessed, happy, and to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account? And go right into verse 12. Be glad and suddenly joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, strong and intense. For in this same way people persecuted the prophets who were before you. Is how they're going to treat you. And you say, what does that have to do with Father's Day? A lot. This is what I heard this morning and I wrote down. There is a stirring going on. A real stirring. And I wasn't thinking about the... the news that was on the Elijah list about the stirring with a spoon. But I was blessed about that. How does a real father teach his children? How does a real father teach his children? Number one, by being a real man and take responsibility for all his actions and for those under him and pays the bills for all of their mistakes. I want you to digest that. Being a real man, take responsibility for your actions and for those under you and pay the bill for their mistake. That's a real father. Isn't that what our Heavenly Father did? He paid the bill for you and me by letting his son take the wrath when he wasn't guilty. Number two, being there when he is needed. And that they ask for his help, not to control or push his weight around. Being a real father is being there when he is needed, and being there when they ask for his help, not just pushing his weight around as many fathers may have done, and that I did. I did that, because that's the part of the way that I learned, but it wasn't godly. I had to adjust it. Number three, being tender and generous to those he is pressed to help. Pressed by the Spirit of God is really the intent here. And sustain them until they recover. And sustain them until they recover. How long does it take for someone to recover? As long as it takes. Number four. Do the work of loving a wife and children, widows and orphans, and the broken in heart and flesh. Sustain and rehearse the love that you have for them until they have learned by a father's perseverance and his example. You're going to teach your children a lot more by your example than by your big mouth. Big mouth injure, perseverance with compassion, to release grace at every level. Now remember, it's not Mother's Day, it's Father's Day. Be a father. Be a compassionate one. And as you learn to become what he's called you to be, a lover, a compassionate lover, a responsible one, until they recover. And ladies, young people, someday, when you realize how much your Heavenly Father has done for you, you'll be able to give out grace to the fathers that you have had in your life. Whether they were perfect or imperfect, I'm positive they did the best they could with the knowledge they had at the time. And when I say knowledge, I mean ingrained knowledge. I'm not talking about they might have head knowledge, but you know something? I've got head knowledge on a lot of things, but that doesn't mean my heart's going to carry it out. Amen. So the job of the mothers and the father, the mothers and the children, if you're having a hard time with the father figure that is in your life, pray that the harmony that is needed will be established. If you only see this and you expect to get them perfected by yelling at them, they're not going to get it. They're going to rebel. You ever yell at a kid and he runs in the opposite direction and he does exactly the opposite of what you just yelled at him for? Come on, please. Am I the only one that sees this? I've got a one-year-old and we tell her, don't touch. And what does she do? She just looks at you and she just, and she does. And the other day, she was trying to get into the waste paper basket. And obviously there was stuff in there that she could hurt herself. And I went over and I, three times I told her, Gabriella, no. And she took her little hand, you know, and she shifted it. She pushed her little shoulder back, you know, so I wouldn't see her hand. And she kind of turned and then she lifted the cover again. in front of me. And I took my finger, just the index finger, and I slapped her little finger very gently. And my God, you might think that I had just injured her to the core. I mean, she wagged. The whole house was awakened. And I said, sweetheart, I know what you're doing. I've been there before and I tried it and it doesn't work. So now we're learning persistence. Because if all the cabinet doors are not hooked up with special hardware, she empties out all the cabinets. Why? Because her grandfather used to do the same thing. He did the same thing. I see the same traits going down. His dad, or rather her dad, not quite so bad. But my son Rick, that was his best trick to empty out the cabinets. And one day we had a stack of drawers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 on the same little narrow thing. He decided that it's going to be an investigation time. So he pulled out the bottom drawer quite a bit. The second one from the bottom pulled out a little bit less. And he made himself a staircase. And he decided to climb. Until his father came in and decided to put a ruler down through the handles. And it solved the problem momentarily. What do we do? Don't you think our Heavenly Father looks at our ideas of how we're going to climb? No different than my little boy decided that he was going to climb on that sink and get where he couldn't get by pulling the drawers out one at a time. You're not going to fool God with your skinny little brain. You will harmonize with Him when you decide to develop your spiritual senses. When you decide to do it His way, all those things that you think you can't do, you will do. All those things that have been prepared for you will come to pass. All those things that have been righteous and godly for you to have as a part of your future will be established, because you're going to be doing it by the realm of Spirit, in the anointing of the Spirit. And the kingdom will be a reality in your life. Father, I pray that this message will encourage them to go higher. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they're not going to use drawers for a stepping place. Lord, that you're going to show them the intense ladder in the realm of the Spirit, where there are angels already prepared to do a work that is far beyond anything they could conceive, because of your grace and because of your mercy. And every member of your house will be transformed because of God's mercy and God's grace and God's way and God's kingdom being established in you and in me. And all of God's people said, and share some hugs.